necesitamos mejorar tu inglés. Siempre digo lo mismo, joder.
Hello, 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 everybody. How are you? This is Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig, episode 34. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Reza. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
If you are a new listener to the podcast, si estás escuchando por la primera vez, welcome. Welcome to everybody. En este podcast, intentamos mejorar tu inglés y subirlo al siguiente nivel. We have some feedback, Reza. Manen from Huesca.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Who says, hello, thank you for your podcasts, especially this one. I live in Huesca at the Pyrenees, but I usually go to Madrid to see my family. And there I knew some people from Galgos 112. She probably means I met some people because knowing meet is the same word in Spanish, isn't it? Conocer.
Yeah.
What's the difference between
I would say that to meet can be for the first time. You can meet a new person, but you can also meet someone you already know.
That's true. You meet them in the street or you meet them for dinner, meet them for a drink.
But the verb to know can only mean knowledge which is previously in your mind.
So when did I meet you?
You met me in 1998.
So how long have we known each other?
Ooh, what's that? 16 years?
Yeah, must be getting on for 16 years.
That's right.
So I met you 16 years ago.
First time.
In the British Council.
Right.
And we've known each other for 16 years.
Yeah, known because it's not new.
Right.
That's right. However, you can also use meet to mean quedar con alguien que ya conoces. For example, Craig, can I meet you tomorrow at 2 o'clock?
Yeah, let's meet and have a beer.
That's also meet. Even though it's not the first time, it's una quedada.
But what Manin means is I met some people from the Galgos 112.
Yeah.
I love dogs. And especially Galgos.
Me too.
We both do.
And especially Berta.
Especially Berta. And if you want to hear more about Berta, I'll put the link to the episode about Berta.
You can even see notes. A photograph of her.
Yeah, it's a photograph of her.
She is pretty.
How is she, by the way? Did you see her recently?
Yes, she's as beautiful as ever.
Is she?
Yeah.
Did she miss you over the summer when you were in Belfast?
No.
She didn't miss you.
She likes me running after her, but she doesn't miss me.
Yeah. She's a lady after your own heart. I think they have pity face. No sé si es pretty, bonito, or de pena.
No. I think she means pity. I know exactly what she means.
De pena.
Yeah. Greyhounds,
cara de pena.
Galgos, are specialists in looking sorry for themselves.
Mm.
They know how to make you pity them. Saben cómo hacer que sientes pena para ellos. But they're lovely. And they put on that face of, oh, poor me. They're really good at it. All of them.
Manning continues. I'm also an IT worker. She works in IT, normally as a teacher. So these episodes have been perfect. Oh, that's an idea. We could do some IT vocabulary.
Right, next episode, maybe.
Next episode, look at some technical words connected to information technology and technology in general. Besides, you're so funny. I love when you say Spanish words with rrr, like perro.
Arriba!
Arriba! I think she's laughing at us, Reza. I love to hear you too when I'm going to run, so I can run without noticing it. So she makes it easier for her to run. I wonder if you can help me with one thing. I say it in Spanish, so maybe you can help me better. ¿Cómo puedo decir voy a intentar leerlo? O voy a intentar escribiros. En general, voy a intentar hacer algo. No. Voy a intentar leerlo. What do you think?
I'm going to try to read it.
I'm going to try to read it. So intentar is to try.
Yeah.
And the voy is I'm going to. So it's a future plan or future intention. I'm going to try to read it. Voy a intentar escribiros would be, I'm
Going to try to write to you.
Going to try to write to you.
One thing about the grammar, in Spanish they say voy a intentar, voy. But in English it's not I go, it's I am going.
I'm going.
It's present continuous in English.
And with the contraction, I'm going. I'm going to try to do something. Okay. Thank you so much and sorry for my English write. It will be my English writing.
Writing.
Yeah. I'm learning step by step slowly. Well Manin, I think you're doing very, very well.
Yeah.
And you also live in a beautiful part of Spain. I love Huesca, one of my favourite places.
The Pyrenees.
Mario J. Flores from Facebook says, "Hi everyone, I need your help. Does anyone can tell me?"
Oh, that's an old mistake. It's classic.
What do you think?
Does plus can? Never. Never, never, never.
No. Nope.
Because can, as we explained in a previous episode, is a modal. Can you remember what episode it was?
No, but I will put a link to this episode in the show notes. So if you go to the show notes on inglespodcast.com, you will find the link to the episode where we speak about modal verbs, and you do not have do or does before modal verbs.
Which are, for example, can, or could, or will, or might, or may, etc. No do, no does with those verbs.
So the correct way to say this, Mario, would be, can anyone tell me?
Right.
Can anyone tell me what's the official Northern Ireland flag? Because I got confused when I saw that there are two. The one that is the same as the United Kingdom, which will be the Union Jack, it's called, and the green, white and orange. If someone could help me, I'd be very grateful. Thanks. Reza, flags of your homeland.
Yes. Oh, Mario. Mario, Mario, Mario. Flags. Well, first of all, I'm from Northern Ireland, so I do know the flag of Northern Ireland. And secondly, we're obsessed with flags in Northern Ireland. There are too many flags in Northern Ireland. Unfortunately, in Northern Ireland, people use flags to show their political or cultural identity.
Affiliation.
To show how they are different to people who have a different flag. And to be honest, we some of us wish there were fewer flags in Northern Ireland. But yes, I can certainly tell you the flag. We'll put a link in this episode. But to describe it, it's a red cross on a white background, just like the flag of England. Now, I'm not saying the United Kingdom, I'm saying England, a red cross on a white background. But the Northern Ireland flag has an addition, a six-pointed white star in the middle.
A star with six points.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because there are six counties in Northern Ireland, seis condados, so a point for every county. And then in the middle of that star, there is a red hand. That's right. A red hand. That's known as the Red Hand of Ulster.
Ah.
Ulster is the northern part of Ireland. Ireland is divided into four provinces, and the northern province is called Ulster. Now, I'll give you a quick summary of the story of the Red Hand of Ulster, because it's a good story. It's an ancient, a very, very old Celtic mythology story. That means probably not true. And the story is that many, many years ago, centuries ago, no one owned or controlled Ulster, the northern part of Ireland. More or less what's Northern Ireland these days, plus a little bit more, that's more or less Ulster. So, what happened? These kings said, we'll have a race. Whoever gets to Ulster first owns it. Because nobody owns it yet. And they agreed, okay, first there.
That sounds like a land grab, like they used to do in America in the end of the 1800s, where they would get horses and carts and they would race, and the first person there to put a piece of wood on the land was their stake. So they owned that land.
Exactly, like a land grab.
Yeah.
Only this is a land grab with a twist. They said, okay, whichever one of us gets there first wins it. Now, there was a river to cross, so they got up to the river. And then one of the kings had the idea, I will cut my hand off and throw it across the river, and then I will be there first.
You're
and
joking.
That's what he did, according to the story. So he cut his hand off. Now, don't try this at home, listeners. If you cut your hand off, it will bleed a lot. It will become very red. Therefore, we have the Red Hand of Ulster. It was thrown across the river, landed in the territory, and that king, now with only one hand, said, okay, it's mine. That's the story of the Red Hand of Ulster. There's one more thing in the flag. Above the red hand in the star, there's a crown. That's the controversial part of the flag. Controversial means polémico, controvertido. People agree and disagree about it. It's controversial because the crown represents loyalty to the crown of the United Kingdom.
The Queen.
The Queen at the moment. Yep, could be a king. Happens to be a queen at the moment. As you can imagine, in Ireland, a lot of people aren't happy about that. So the crown part causes a lot of problems.
Yeah, so, sure.
Mario, I checked up a little bit. I did a bit of research to answer your question. Apparently, the flag of Northern Ireland stopped being official in about 1973. So we have a flag, but it lost its official status when the government was dissuelto in 1973.
So, Reza, what on official occasions and official events, what flag do they use?
Well, apparently, I had to check this myself, in Northern Ireland itself, on official buildings, on official days, they use only the British flag, which is the Union Jack.
Yeah.
That flag that everybody knows, the flag for all of the United Kingdom. But Northern Ireland has a flag, just that it has lost its official status because nationalist Catholic people in Northern Ireland, well, not all Catholics are nationalists, but most Catholics are nationalist, most Protestants are unionist. They can't agree on whether Northern Ireland should be in the United Kingdom or not. So for most nationalists, they do not accept this Red Hand of Ulster flag with the crown on it, because they don't accept loyalty to the crown. So it's a controversial flag, controvertido. Well, the Union Jack, the British flag, is also controversial, but they particularly, nationalists particularly, don't like this Northern Ireland flag because they say that Northern Ireland shouldn't be a country. It should be just part of Ireland. And as you pointed out, Mario, the flag of Ireland is green, white, and orange. I hope that answers your question.
Can I ask you something before we leave this subject? You know, in September this year, there was a vote in Scotland for independence, and it was quite close, but in the end, the Scottish people voted to stay as part of the United Kingdom.
Yes.
Do you think they'll ever have a referendum? They'll ever have a vote in Northern Ireland?
Most definitely, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know when, but for sure they will have it. They must sooner or later.
And do you think they'll have a similar vote in Catalonia?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think they will sooner or later. Again, Now I know the Catalans want to have it this year,
yeah,
soon.
Yeah.
I don't know if that will happen, but I'm sure they'll have it soon. What do you think?
Well, I was watching an interview with Artur Mas on television the other day, and he's pushing for it, an early vote. But I'm not sure. I think it's very different from the situation in the UK, and I think the central government in Spain are not very keen on giving a general referendum, a democratic vote. So we'll wait and see. I'm not sure, but it will be very interesting. Before we move on to grammar, one final comment from Pilar, who says, hola. A mí siempre me dijeron que often se pronuncia often. Y vosotros habéis dicho often. Y luego often. ¿Podéis aclararmelo, por favor? Thank you very much, Pilar. Well, thanks for your comment, Pilar. What do you say?
Well, first of all, Pilar, can I compliment you on being very observant?
She is.
Well observed.
Very well listened.
And they're both correct. You can say often or you can say often.
What do you say?
I'm fairly sure that I always say often. I pronounce the T.
And that's where the confusion comes from, because I say often. So that's there right. You go, Pilar. Reza says often. I say often. I'm from London. Reza's from Belfast. Both are correct. It doesn't matter. So you choose.
Can I do another test, Craig?
Go on.
I haven't prepared this with Craig in advance. Craig, the third day of the week in English. Say it.
Wednesday.
See, I would say Wednesday. I say a D, you don't really say a D.
Say it again.
Wednesday.
You don't say that.
I do.
Say it again.
Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah.
I never noticed. Wednesday.
Again?
Wednesday.
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 Well, actually, I'd say Wednesday. I'd say the E at the end. I wouldn't say day, I'd say E. I'd say Wednesday. I'll see you Wednesday.
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 So we say that word quite differently as well.
We do? Moving on to our grammar section on this podcast, and over to you, Reza, with the word will, which I think we mentioned before a few episodes ago
when we
spoke about the future, didn't we? We spoke about present continuous for the future, going to for the future, will for the future, and the differences. If you want to listen to that, I will put a link in the show notes at inglespodcast.com, so you can go there and be directed to that episode. But what would you like us to point out with will, Reza?
Well, Craig, will is not a straightforward, no es simple, it's no not es tan, a straightforward no word. Claro. It's quite a complicated word in English, will. Most Spanish people overuse the word will. They use it more often, or often, than they should. For example, as Craig has pointed out, if you're talking about plans for tomorrow, you say going to, or present continuous. For example, tomorrow I'm going to meet my grandmother. It is wrong to say, tomorrow I will meet my grandmother. It's wrong. That is not the correct use of will.
But it's very common for Spanish speakers use will.
Very, very common.
I will go to a disco. I will study English this morning. I will go shop. If it's a plan, if it's an arrangement, it's much more common to use the present continuous for the future.
Yes, will is not usually correct for that. Mm-hmm. So it's a typical mistake. So when do we use will? Okay, well, let's talk about the word will first. What it is, it's an auxiliary verb.
An auxiliary modal verb.
An auxiliary modal verb, yeah. It's not a normal verb like stop, eat, go. It's a modal or a modal auxiliary. Like all modal verbs, such as can, etc., there's no S at the end. So I will, you will, he will. There's no he wills. No S because it's a modal. Just like I can, you can, he can, not he cans, Okay, so it's an modal or a modal auxiliary. I'm sure you're familiar with the negative form of will, not won't is the contraction. People often forget that. W-O-N apostrophe T. So when do we use will or negative won't or will not? Well, Craig, you have actually used it already today. You asked me, I think your words were the following. Do you think there will be a referendum in Catalonia?
Mm-hmm.
And I said I wasn't sure.
As a prediction.
Okay. Future prediction. That's my first use of will.
I said, do you think there'll be a referendum? Do you think there'll be a vote?
Exactly. Yeah. You're asking me to predict about the future. And you're asking me to predict with no clear evidence. Going to can also be for a future prediction, but that's more for when there's evidence. For example, imagine I see a big, 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 horrible black cloud up in the sky and it's really windy. I might say, I think it's going to rain. Look at that cloud.
Present evidence for the future.
But if I said to you, tomorrow I think it will be sunny. Well, I don't really know. I don't really have any evidence. That's my prediction. I think that. I'm less sure. So will can be for a future prediction with no real evidence, whereas going to is a future prediction with evidence. Now, where's the dividing line? When is there evidence? When is there not? Well, that's very ambiguous. It's muy ambiguo.
But for example, if you went to a fortune teller, una persona que te va a hacer predicciones sobre el futuro, and she takes out her crystal ball and she looks, she's an old woman and she's looking into her crystal ball and she says, you, Reza, will meet a beautiful, tall, dark lady and you will have many children and you will win the football pools and you will be very rich and live in a lovely house. That's clearly a situation where you're making predictions, so you'd use will.
Exactly. I'd also say to her, you're a liar. None of this is going to happen to me. But
and I will not be paying you.
What about predictions for the future sporting events? for example, Craig, who do you think will win the next World Cup?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I'll have to pass on that because I really don't know. I think I will have to pass.
I think Holland will win.
We'll have to. Do you think so?
Yeah, I really think they will win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that much evidence, but I just kind of have a feeling. I think they'll win.
Now, if you were more sure, if you were more convinced that they would win, you could use going to, couldn't you?
Yeah.
I think Holland are definitely going to win.
Yeah, because they've got fantastic goalkeepers, strikers.
So even though evidence. It is a prediction, you're more sure of the result. So you could yeah. use going to.
Yeah. So there's a bit of ambiguity between using will or going to for future prediction. It depends how confident you feel about your prediction.
Absolutely.
So that's one use of will. There are other uses of will. Another use of will is when you want to express certainty, that's certeza, or confidence. For example, imagine I said to you, I'm sure you'll agree, listeners, that Ecuador is a beautiful country. I'm sure you'll agree. You'll agree. You will agree. I used the contraction. You will. I contract it to you'll. Y-O-U apostrophe double L. So W-I-L-L can be shortened to apostrophe double L. Let me repeat. I'm sure you'll agree that Ecuador is beautiful. So I'm sure you'll agree. I'm sure. Certainty, certeza, or confidence. I'm confident that you're going to agree with me.
Is that the same use as, for example, if the doorbell rings and I know that at this time is when the postman brings the letters, and I say, ah, that'll be the postman.
Precisely. You're certain or confident of that information.
Right.
That will or that'll.
That'll.
T-H-A-T apostrophe L-L. For our listeners, that probably sounds strange to say, that'll. But you can, in spoken English and in informal written English, write that'll or say that'll.
That'll be the postman.
Okay. Here's another use of certainty or confidence. Oh, Mary's really nice. She'll definitely help us. I'm confident of that. She's a good person. She'll definitely help us. I've used the word definitely, and definitely shows, I'm confident. I'm sure of that.
And these modifiers are quite common with Will. So you could say she'll definitely, she'll probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll certainly.
She'll certainly.
Uh-huh. Another one. What about a negative one? She won't marry me. She doesn't love me anymore.
Oh,
she won't marry me. So there we got a negative. She will not. She won't marry me. She doesn't love me anymore. I'm fairly confident. Her answer's no. She won't marry me. So that's certainty or confidence.
She'll regret it.
Maybe. Now another use of will is for spontaneous decisions. Not planned decisions. Not planned. Spontaneous decisions.
I'll open a bottle of wine.
Yeah, we just decided just now because you feel like it.
Yeah,
right now.
Decision at the moment of speaking.
Exactly. Craig, I've got tea and I've got coffee. Which will you have?
I'll have a cup of tea.
You'll have a cup of tea. He decided just now. I asked him just now. He didn't know I was going to ask him. It was spontaneous. Espontáneo. Not planned. That's will.
I will have a cup of tea. I'll have a cup of tea.
Or imagine I'm in a restaurant and I say to my friend with me in the restaurant, well, after checking the menu, I think I'll have the fish. Because Craig gave me a menu earlier today and it was fish or fish. So, no, he did it. That's not true, actually. He gave me a choice of fish or...
Fish.
Okay. Right. So I think I'll have the fish, Craig.
Very good choice, sir. Wonderful choice.
So you check a menu, which presumably you didn't see before you got to the restaurant, so it's not planned. And then there's a spontaneous decision. I think I'll have the fish, and I think I'll have a glass of wine.
And then if you change your mind, of course, you do the same. So I think I'll have the fish. No, I won't have the fish. Yep. I'll have the steak.
Yeah, the negative then won't. Exactly. So that's spontaneous decision.
Are there any more uses of will?
There are. Will I maybe give one more and then leave it? Good. Or would that be too much information?
No, give one more.
One more. And then perhaps we could continue with Will in the next episode?
Yes, we'll do that.
We'll do that, okay. That was a spontaneous decision. But let's have one more use of Will for, not surprisingly, willingness. Now, you may not, listeners, be familiar with the word willingness. Well, let's break it up. Will.
Voluntud.
Okay. And then willing. Willing is an adjective. If you are willing, willing, if you are willing to do something, tienes voluntad de hacerlo. Willing is an adjective. And if you want to make that into a noun, then it's willingness, voluntad. So, for willingness or the opposite, unwillingness, when you don't want to do something, not surprisingly, you use the word will. The clue's in the name, as we say. Willingness uses the word will. So, for example, I won't meet Paul. I hate him. I just will not talk to him. I am unwilling. No tengo voluntad. No, no quiero. Mm-hmm. No me apetece. I won't, will not. I won't meet Paul. I hate him. I just will not talk to him. I'm unwilling. Yeah. Sería contra mi voluntad. Or what about this? Craig, I'm afraid I won't be helping you hoover the flat today. I just don't feel like it.
Sorry. You're not willing to do it?
I'm not willing to do it. I'm too tired. Sorry about that.
I'll wait until next time you come.
I'll do what I normally do. Here's my spontaneous decision. I'll eat the fish, which will be lovely, and then I'll go. I'm afraid I won't help you clean the flat.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No worries. I'll ask you next time.
Okay. There are a few more uses of will, but I think that's enough for today. I don't want to overload you.
So we'll come back to will in another episode.
We will indeed.
So now that we've decided to do that, then we can say we are going to talk about will in a future episode because now it's a plan.
Going to is a plan. It's not spontaneous. Now we have now decided
we have,
it.
We have a plan.
And planned it for next time. So going to.
Yeah. Moving on to vocabulary. And as I said last episode, I was traveling this summer and I was lucky enough to go to Australia where I found some lovely Australian colloquialisms. Mm-hmm. Reza, do you know anything that Australians typically say that's different from British English or American English?
I believe that they say as a greeting, come on, saludo, g'day.
That's right, which is good day, but they contract it to g'day, G'day. And as we do in Britain, as tío or amigo, they'd say mate. So it's very common to hear in Australia, g'day mate, g'day mate, how are you, how are you doing?
Which is really quite informal, but that's the way Australians are. They're very informal,
which I loved. They're very informal. They don't have the class system that we have in Britain. So everybody on any level is pretty much the same, and it's very common to walk into a business meeting or to meet somebody perhaps who's your superior, and they'll say, g'day, mate, and I love that. Another thing they say is, no worries, mate.
Yeah.
No es importante, no problem, no hay ningún problema. The Australian equivalent is no worries.
Although people in Britain do say that as well, but just not as much.
They do, and I'm not sure, but I think they may have taken it and adopted that expression from the Australians.
What about, Craig, one which I hear a lot on TV shows, but I don't know if people really say it. Maybe a stereotype. Fair dinkum.
Fair dinkum.
Well, if you're not sure, then it's probably just a stereotype, because you would have heard it.
No, I've heard it, but I'm not sure what it means.
Just like, as we would say in Ireland, fair play.
Fair play.
Which kind of means like, yeah, that's all right, whatever, don't mind, go ahead, do that.
Yeah. There is this idea in Australia of being, of giving everybody a fair go, a fair crack at the whip, mm-hmm. as we would say in English, a fair try. So, yeah, fair dinkum. Have you heard this one? Good on ya.
Yes.
Good on ya, mate.
We say it in Ireland as well. We've probably got it from the Australians, and we say it quite a bit now.
You'd say good on you. What would you mean if you said that in Ireland?
Well done. Mm-hmm. Or you did something that you should be proud of. Good on you.
Right. In Australia, they'd use it that way, but it has a wider use. It could also mean cheers. It could mean thank you. Thanks very much. Or as we'd say in Britain, nice one. Good on you. So it has a much wider use, and it's very, very common. I think you'll like this one. Do you know what they call flip-flops in Australia, which are chanclas in Spanish?
I've no idea.
Flip-flops. You know the ones you wear at the beach?
Yep.
Thongs.
Really?
Tangas.
Oh, no, I can see problems arising from that.
Have you got your thongs for the beach?
Oh, right. I'm glad you've warned me about that.
It's interesting, eh?
Yeah. Because thong is, in Spanish, what, tanga?
Thongs are tangas in Spanish.
Underwear, a type of underwear.
Underwear. So you don't go to the beach without your thongs.
Do Australians often say, you're a rotten mongrel? Or is it another stereotype?
I didn't hear that. No, I didn't hear that. That may be through films or something, but no, I didn't hear it. A final expression. Pokies. Any idea what pokies might be?
Let me think. Pokies. It isn't an ice cream, is it?
Nope. If you go into a bar or a pub in Australia, and they're very commonly called hotels, you would probably see pokies. And what are pokies? They are slot machines. You know the ones you have in bars in Spain where you'd put money in a slot and you'd play and gamble? Because they're pokies. So you play the pokies. That's a very common expression, to play the pokies.
I would never have guessed
that. I didn't know that.
Never in a month of Sundays would I have guessed that.
Would you believe it?
Now, Craig, in Britain, people joke that many, many Australians are called, either for men, Bruce, and for women, Sheila. Is it true?
I didn't hear it, no, but they do call Brits like me Poms.
That's for sure, isn't it?
Poms. Yeah.
Where does it come from, do you know? Why do Australians call British people Poms?
I don't know. I'll have to check. I can't remember. But I was called a Pom on quite a few occasions, and it's not derogatory. It's just what they call us, and it's not a negative name or a negative label. Yeah. Bloody Pom. Hey, you bloody pom.
And British and Irish people would refer to Australians as Aussies.
Aussies. And Australia as Oz. Yep, we're going to Oz.
Or Down Under.
Down Under, that's right.
Because it's way down in the Southern Hemisphere.
And I did check that there the water does go the opposite direction in the sink.
Oh, yes.
En la pila, pues el agua cae al contrario de aquí.
Tiene algo que ver con la gravidad.
Exacto.
Something to do with gravity.
Yes.
Yes. North side. Maybe it's the same in places like Argentina, is it? Because they're in the Southern Hemisphere?
It must be, yeah.
You've been there as well?
But I didn't check in Argentina. But maybe a listener who is in Argentina could tell us which way the water goes down the plug.
Yeah.
Desagüe. If it goes clockwise.
The plug hole.
Clockwise or anti-clockwise?
Sentido del reloj or sentido contra reloj?
Yeah, which way does it go in Argentina? Because here it goes con el reloj, no? It goes sentido clockwise. Here it's clockwise. Moving on to idioms. Do you have any idioms for us this week? I have one.
Go ahead.
Honesty is the best policy. Lo mejor es ser franco.
Uh-huh. True that. Yeah.
Honesty is the best policy.
Yeah.
And do you have any? No?
Okay. Honesty is the best policy. No.
So no, you don't. No.
Ask me again. I do.
Do you have any? Do you have one for us this week, Reza?
Yes, I do. Like a fish in water.
Can you explain that?
Well, fish are very happy to be in water.
Yeah,
they're not at all happy to be out of water because they'll die, right? So if somebody is like a fish in water, they are in a situation which they are very familiar and happy with, like a fish in water.
Okay, So if you're very used to doing so, you feel comfortable doing something, you could say, oh, he's like a fish in water when he's playing rugby, for example.
Yeah, because he has a lot of experience in rugby.
Yeah.
I've got another one to do with water and animals.
Mm-hmm.
Like water off a duck's back. That's a nice one to translate,
like,
isn't it?
Water off a duck's back.
If you translate it, como agua que sale de la espalda de un pato. Well, now, ¿qué demonio significa eso? What does it mean, Craig?
Like water off a duck's back. Something that you don't pay attention to. Something that doesn't bother you. For example, if you said to me, Craig, your Spanish is really bad, which it is.
I've never said that.
No, but you know, I know my Spanish is bad, and I'm constantly working on it. It's something I'm working on to improve. But really, it doesn't bother me. I don't care. I know it should be better. But
you're not going to feel offended if someone says it.
I don't feel offended because I know it's bad. No es un punto débil. No me molesta mucho. So it's water off a duck's back.
Because a lot of water comes off a duck's back.
That's right.
Right. So can you imagine? It's no big deal. No es gran cosa.
Absolutely. One more I have. It never rains, but it pours, which is also water.
Oh, and we know that very well here in Valencia over the last few days.
Llueve sobre mojado. It's been raining here a lot, hasn't it?
Last night, it absolutely poured in Valencia. It's true. In Valencia, when it rains, it always does pour. You can feel the individual raindrops, las gotas de lluvia. They're so big.
Yeah.
You don't get light rain in Valencia. It pours or nothing.
And there's been floods in some parts of Spain, inundaciones in the north of Spain. It's in Barcelona area. It's been really, really bad.
Of course, that's because it's the gota fría.
That's right.
Which is a nice Spanish idiom which describes this time of year in the Levante, Valencia, Murcia, Catalonia area, where because it's the end of the summer and the start of autumn, it pours rain. It doesn't rain a little. It rains a lot.
But we wouldn't say a cold drop.
We can't translate it into
a cold spell.
But it's more than that. It's specifically September, October.
And it's with rain, isn't it?
It's with rain. Storms often as well. Because we don't get it in Britain and Ireland, so we can't translate it.
Because it rains all the time.
Yeah. But it often rains lightly in Britain and Ireland.
Yeah. Showers and...
Which you just don't get in Valencia.
That's true.
When it rains, it pours. But Craig, what's the real meaning of when it rains, it pours?
Well, I'll give you an example. I can't believe this, okay? This morning, I had a flat tire.
Pinchazo.
Yeah. Tenía pinchazo en el coche. When I went to the garage to fix the tire, I discovered I didn't have any money. I left my wallet at home. Mm-hmm. And then I couldn't use my credit card because my credit card has expired. Oh. It never rains, but it pours.
Lots of bad things happen. Not just one.
You know those days you get up out of bed and everything goes badly. You know, you spill your coffee, you forget things when you leave the house, there's traffic jams. Everything is constantly bad. So it never rains, it pours. Bad things sometimes come together. I think in Spanish you could say, al que no quiere caldo, se dan dos tazas. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Something similar.
That's all I can think of.
That's all we have for you this episode. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you to you, Reza. And remember, if you want to contact us, you can contact us through the webpage at inglespodcast.com. Send us a message there. Or write to us by email and send us a sound file. Un mensaje de voz en MP3. And our email addresses are for me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com. And Reza at belfastreza@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Take care.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later, licensed by Creative Commons under a BY-NC license at ccmixter.org.